My next guest is on the line. We chat to him weekly. We travel the world, see it through his eyes. He's Dan Brotman, travel and digital storyteller. Dan, how are you this afternoon?
It's good to be with you, Simon. Thanks for having me.
So before we travel Morocco this afternoon, just something, a little nugget that cropped up in the first half hour of the show this afternoon. Did you have any idea, had you ever heard that fish and chips is of Sephardic Jewish heritage?
I had no idea. I always assumed it was an English food.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Turns out it's Jewish. You must go and Google. Enough of that for this afternoon. Let's talk about Morocco, Dan. When you were there, and is it as fascinating and as an exotic destination as I want it to be?
Well, first of all, we could probably do several segments just talking about Morocco. I've been to Morocco 3 times. As recently as this year, I actually did a road trip through Morocco where I was the driver.
Okay, what's that? Into the Atlas Mountains and the deserts and all that stuff.
So I've had 3 experiences in Morocco. So my first time in Morocco was in 2021. It was in the middle of COVID, and there were very few countries that were open for tourism, and I was desperate to travel. And so on that trip, I actually went to the city of Marrakesh and spent Yom Kippur with the local Jewish community, which was really, really fascinating. As I'm sure many people know, Morocco had one of the largest Jewish communities in the Arab world. Around the time that the State of Israel was created, there were anywhere between 250 and 300,000 Jews in Morocco. Today, there's only 1% of that number remaining in the country, somewhere between 2,000 to 3,000 Jews. Marrakesh specifically only has several hundred Jews. The majority of the community is based in Casablanca.
Talk to me about the differences between the cities, because you read about Fez, you read about Marrakesh, you read about Casablanca, but it's not alive to me. Are they very different, both geographically and from the inhabitants' perspective, food, etc.?
Well, I mean, the first thing that I would do would be to divide Morocco into French-speaking Morocco and Spanish-speaking Morocco, which are very, very different. So this year I actually was in Tangiers, which was in the Spanish-speaking part of Morocco. What's interesting is that when the Jews left Morocco, again, anywhere from the 1950s onwards, the ones from Spanish-speaking Morocco, many of them immigrated to places like Venezuela, Argentina, Brazil, they went to Spanish-speaking countries. Yeah. And the ones who went to places like France and Canada were the French-speaking Jews. So there was a linguistic divide within the Moroccan Jewish community. What's also interesting is I spent time this year as part of that road trip in two places that are part of Spain. They're fully Spain, but they're within the territory of Morocco with very rich Jewish histories. And they're the exclaves of Ceuta and Melilla. So if you look on a map, they're both in northern Morocco, but they have been part of Spain since, I believe, the 1400s. And Jews have, and what's interesting is that when the Spanish Inquisition was taking place, the Jews in Ceuta and Melilla were untouched. And when Jews started to feel unsafe in Morocco, starting in the 1950s, those who chose not to, you know, go to Latin America or Israel or Canada, but wanted to leave Morocco but stay in the region, actually immigrated to the Spanish exclaves. So the Jews who are there today are actually the descendants mostly of Moroccan immigrants in the last generation or two, mostly from Tetuan. Which is one of the main Jewish communities in the Spanish area. So to answer your question in short, Morocco is a vastly different, you know, geographically it's very, very different. Marrakesh is much more desert-like. Tangiers is much more on the Mediterranean, but they're very influenced by the colonial powers, and one has more of a Spanish feel and one has more of a French feel.
You refer to the Spanish emigres having gone to Venezuela, the French speakers to France and the like. Israel has a massive, huge, significant Moroccan population. Where do they come from? Is it both groups? Or one group in particular? What's the story about the makeup of the Israeli Moroccan population?
So my understanding, without being an expert on this, is that Israel would have both, but that the sort of the Jews who came from sort of more mountainous rural areas, the lower socioeconomic Jews were the ones that went to Israel, and it was the wealthier Jews that went, and the more cosmopolitan urban Jews who went to places like France, Latin America, and Canada.
Interesting.
It's actually interesting on Friday night. This last Shabbat, I actually had dinner with a Moroccan Jewish family here in Montreal. So the estimates of the Sephardic community in Montreal, which is predominantly Moroccan, are anywhere between 25 and 40%. And I actually belong to a Moroccan shul here in Montreal. And it's in, you
That's
know, for me, it's also
fantastic.
very interesting
Yes.
to hear from people how they wound up here. So you have many Moroccans actually came directly from Morocco straight to Canada, not via anywhere else. And again, it's they were looking for French-speaking countries to move to. So those who didn't go to France went to Canada, and they completely changed the face of the Jewish community here. They did the same in Venezuela, but what's interesting is that in Venezuela, many of the majority of the Jewish community has left, and many have gone to neighboring Panama. Panama is a Syrian community, but all of a sudden they have this huge influx of Moroccan Venezuelan Jews who have completely different traditions, and it's actually caused tension in the community because the Moroccans want to have their own shul, but the chief rabbi of Panama won't allow them to have their own shul and wants them to join the Syrians. So the Moroccans have had a huge impact on the various diaspora communities that they've moved to. What was interesting is when I was in Casablanca, this was a couple of years ago, there still is an active Jewish community. They have Jewish schools. I rented an Airbnb that was right next to a Jewish butchery, and it was very openly a Jewish butchery. There's also an infamous rabbi from Israel named Rabbi Pinto. He was jailed in Israel for bribery. And
Yes.
I don't know if he either escaped from jail or after his release, he had Moroccan Israeli nationality because his parents were from Morocco. He actually then moved to Morocco. He crowned himself the chief rabbi of Morocco, and he actually established. It's very contentious because again, he crowned himself, but he established a yeshiva in Casablanca, which I
Yes.
saw at one of the main synagogues. And what's interesting is that Jewish students from all over the world, including Israel, now go to Morocco to study at Rabbi Pinto's yeshiva. So he's trying to revive Jewish life in Morocco. He says that Morocco is actually safe, is a safer place to be Jewish today than many parts of Western Europe.
And how did you feel about that?
So it's interesting. I would definitely like, first of all, I mean, having traveled a lot of the Arab world since October 7th, I would say that the most anti-Israel sentiment you'll feel is definitely in North Africa. I would say though that Morocco wasn't the worst. I mean, I would say Tunisia, Algeria, it was much more anti-Israel. Morocco was, I mean, I don't know if I would say it's the most comfortable. It was okay. But you know, the fact that they have a kosher butchery with Hebrew letters in Casablanca and there were no issues, I mean, I think is a sign that you can live an openly Jewish life there. The problem with the Jewish community in Morocco is again, the ones who stayed. So they often say who stays in countries that are going through turmoil? It's the greedy and the needy. So either the people who are doing very, very well or the people who cannot afford to leave and are extremely needy. So I think that, you know, much of the Jewish community that's remained in Morocco is very affluent. Their children leave Morocco to study elsewhere and they don't return. And there's a major concern in the Moroccan Jewish community, there are only several thousand, that their children have gone to places like Israel, France, and Canada to study and they won't come back. So I think there's a big question mark about the future.
Something unique that I've borne witness to over the years has been the odd YouTube video that one sees about Muslims praying at dead rabbi tombs in Morocco. And you kind of realize, have they lived together so long that the communities have interwoven and crossed over and have respect for each other's martyrs and heroes? Because did you see anything like that? Did you see the tombs of these rabbis that people pray at to have children or whatever it is that they're praying for?
So I personally didn't, but what I found what's very interesting is that if you go to most countries in the Arab world, you won't find Jewish descendants returning there to visit, and Morocco is the exception. So even, you know, within the Montreal Jewish community, when I tell people I go to Morocco, they're like, oh, well, that's not special. We go all the time. So what's interesting is that this is, Morocco is a country where its diaspora, the Jewish diaspora, returns to visit. They do pilgrimage at the rabbis' graves. They go back on cultural tours. What was fascinating is when I went in 2021, it was very shortly after the Abraham Accords, and I met the friend who went hiking with me came from Israel, and he came on a direct El Al flight from Tel Aviv to Marrakesh. And I remember waiting for him in the airport, and everyone in the airport was speaking Hebrew. And this El Al plane arrived. And I realized that even though the Jewish community of Morocco may be shrinking and it's 1% of its former size, that the links between Morocco and its diaspora are very, very active. And Jews are returning to Morocco, as I said, for pilgrimage, to show their children where they came from. They have business links. I mean, I remember even walking around Casablanca and I heard people speaking Hebrew in the street. And there's no other place I've been to in the Arab world where links are maintained between the descendants and the former Arab homeland.
Absolutely fascinating. Dan, as per usual, thank you for your time this afternoon. Can't wait for where you're going to take us next week.